Philadelphia, Philadelphia, are you ready? City of brotherly love, home of smoking Joe Frazier. Come on. It's about that time. FetLifeStation.com. Philly Fridays, baby. Come on.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to FetLife Station Internet Radio. You are listening to Life Without Parole, LWOP Radio. My name is Stacey Mandel. I am in Philadelphia, where it's definitely still a Philly thing. Go Sixers! And I am co-hosting the show with Robert Groves, aka Reentry Rob. And Rob is about 27 years down on a life without the possibility of parole sentence at SCI Phoenix, which is about an hour away from Philadelphia. My co-host Rob is going to be calling in today around 9:40, maybe 9:42. But until then, I'm very pleased for us to be co-hosting this morning, which is May 5th, 5-5. So it's going to be a powerful morning. Mr. Gerard Haynes. Mr. Haynes is serving a life without parole sentence as well at SCI Phoenix. And then I'll be interviewing a few of his family members, his cousin Dominique, his aunt Ruby, and his mother Karen. So without further ado, we're going to bring in Mr. Gerard Haynes at this moment.
Good morning, Gerard. Good morning. Happy to have you here with us. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Yep. So let's get right into it. Can you please tell our listeners how long you've been incarcerated, what age you were when you first entered prison, and your current sentence?
Right now, I'm a lifer here at SCI Phoenix. I've been incarcerated for 18 years, and I was 18 years old when I first came to prison.
And your current sentence is?
Life without parole.
Okay. And you said you said 40 years?
I forgot. What did you say?
I'm sorry. I may have misheard you. How long have you served already?
18 years.
18. Okay. 18. Can you tell us more about you before prison?
Well, before prison, I was basically still a child. I was in high school trying to figure out who I was. But I was a cool kid who loved sports, moving around, chasing girls, of course. And I was just pretty much just the life of the party. It's always a happy spirit, a good vibe, and just trying to figure myself out like I saw the rest of the kids.
Just so you know, I interviewed your cousin, Dominique. She said...
Yes.
She said you always had the best smile.
That's true. That's true.
Okay.
That's so true.
Yeah. So... anything else you want to say about the context in your life at the time before you enter prison?
Well, I want to say pretty much because I was just still a child.
Okay.
You know, and I was just trying to figure things out. So there really ain't really too much I can really get in depth with. Just a simple fact, I was just still a child trying to figure myself out.
How did you adjust to life being sentenced at such a very young age, at 18?
I adjusted prison life simply by trying. I put emphasis on trying to keep myself around good people who has and had enough positive experience to pass down to me. Of course, I went through a couple bad seeds, couple bad situations that helped me learn. But for the most part, it's just surrounding yourself around good people.
This is a call from SCI Phoenix State Correctional Institution.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Yes, just keeping yourself around positive people.
Mm-hmm. Was it, this is a dumb question, but I wanted to just paint for the listeners, like, I'm assuming it was pretty hard to be sentenced to that at such a young age? I mean, do you remember what it felt like?
I did, and it was crazy because I tell this to people before that it actually didn't hit me until maybe a couple years later. Like, it actually didn't hit me initially. Like, I was just laying in my room one day, and it was probably about 3 years later, and it, that's when it hit me. And I mean, that's when the tears finally flowed. It was like, from there, then it was like, okay, based on those tears, it's like, okay, Gerard, now you finally, it's starting to wrap your mind around the fact that this is indeed real. So now it's time for you to take full accountability of this thing, and it's time to start moving forward.
How has your mindset changed since being sentenced to a life without parole?
It changed simply by staying the course of questions to the last question, practicing good habits, slowly ridding of all the bad ones, and more importantly, keeping an all open relationship with God. I can't get through these days without Him. And my relationship with Him, since I've opened myself up fully, it's been a blessing due to the circumstances.
Can you talk about some of your proudest accomplishments since your arrest?
Yes, some of our proudest accomplishments are just positively becoming a better person than me.
Wait. Phoenix State Correctional Institution.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Just every day, just finding a better version of Gerard. Just the way that I am around people, the way that I am on a job, the way that I am in general, and how I was molded by these good people that's with me behind the walls, and completing all my prescribed programs, the voluntary ones, vocational trade school, warehouse operations, multiple championships in sports, and intramural programs they have, displaying great camaraderie skills with others. Like, I'm just a great, genuine person. And I just learned every day to continue to find a better version of myself, and I'm locating it, and I'm very, very happy with the results thus far.
How about your education in particular? I know you at least earned your GED, right?
Yes, I earned my GED, then I went to vocational trade school, which pertained to residential wiring. Residential wiring, TPC, floor care, NCCER, warehouse operations, plumbing, flagger's license. It's just everything that I can get myself involved with. Like, once everyone can see my bio on the notebook, all the certificates are there.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like maybe you wanted to participate, not just to be involved, but to just take advantage of opportunities you have to expand who you are.
Anything that I can possibly do to reach a better version of me, I'm all for it. Like, just my past, I just want to show everyone that my past mistake does not represent the totality of who I truly am, and I'm going to reach my heights no matter where I'm at.
How do you manage to keep your mind occupied when you're not in one of those trainings?
I love music. I love working out. I was one of the head workout trainers down here, helping and motivating the guys to get themselves together. Learning different languages. I'm trying to learn Spanish. And again, just keeping myself around the right people. Right conversations, right vibes, and things like that. But music is really the main thing. I truly love music.
Well, you should look up my daughter, Maxie, M-A-X-I-E, Mandel with one L. Check her out. She's got about 5 songs out. She's 18, trying to be famous. Okay.
Is she up?
Yep. I don't know. I mean, we're all the platforms that have music, so I think you can find her. How has the prison dynamic affected your relationship with your loved ones?
Prison has affected my relationship with my loved ones because I'm not there. Life doesn't stop because of my mistakes, but there's times where there are periods where I may not hear from anyone, and that's respect to their spaces in life. And as time goes on, you kind of lose trust, and for some to most, depending on how much time was spent without communication, all you remember is who they were at the time. But for the most part, with my immediate family, I still have amazing times with my immediate family.
So if you could go back and give yourself that 18-year-old self, J-Dub, I hear you're called. Any advice? What would that advice be?
My advice for my 18-year self would be simply stay in school. You only live once, and this isn't a practice life. Always keep God first and trust His guidance no matter what. Straight like that. But emphasis on this, you don't get a practice life. This is your one and only chance with this. And I would have told myself to stay in school.
Yeah, and I work with juveniles who are being held in an adult prison, and I say, and they always agree, do you think this is a place that you would wish on your worst enemy? And they say no.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. Good job.
Yeah. So what avenues has the Groves Notebook and the LWAP radio show, what avenues do you think these two have provided you and maybe other men and women serving who, you know, similarly situated as yourself?
Well, I think the notebooks provided an opportunity for us men and women to show who we are today as opposed to our yesterday. This platform is built for the people to learn and understand true rehabilitation via our actions by us showing who we genuinely are. And we really want a second chance at this life. You know what I'm saying? Everybody who has reached the streets from these life sentences, the recidivism rate is next to nothing. And the people before us that went out there, they're showing us that the second chances are real. And they're setting amazing examples out there for the next wave, God willing, of lifers who can potentially make it out there. So I want to personally say thank you to the Groves Notebook, because without a platform like this, no one can ever know who you are. So there's no way to put your situation out there. I mean, if you don't put it out there, no one knows who you are. So I would like to thank everybody associated with the Groves Notebook. And yeah. You, Stacey, thank you so much.
Oh, please. It's Rob's mastermind.
That's my guy.
Yeah, they typically we use that nickname mastermind with like criminal mastermind, but I didn't even think of it when I gave him that nickname. It's more like, woo, this is a mastermind here to come up with this concept, you know, and to have this to always be 10 steps ahead. So let's get into the word freedom. Can you describe what does that word freedom mean to you now?
Freedom means to me now that I'm in here is simply being away from this. Like this is a life in a world that's like you said, you would never wish upon your worst enemy. And freedom to me now is simplicity. It's just very, very, very simple things in life that life has to offer.
Yeah. Just wondering, can you think of a couple things in particular that you have freedom now with in your life?
Things that I have freedom with now?
Yeah. Because we're talking about what it means to you now.
Goodness, everything. Freedom, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, good homes, good friendships, all walks of life. Good feel, but most importantly, family. Family to me is everything. It doesn't get no better than that to me. Like that, you realize how much family is to you while you're here. It's sad, but just everything. Everything's heightened at this point when it comes to freedom and everything that I just named. That's freedom to me.
Is there anything that you want society to know about the man that you are today?
I'm a genuine person. Like, I have great work ethic. I'm responsible and trustworthy. I develop positive habits throughout this journey nonstop, has embedded these qualities in me to make it forever for my peace. Like, I'm a good person. Like, I'm nothing like the 18-year-old self that I was, on no level, no shape or form. And society will be gaining a good person. When they let me out of here.
Yeah. Anything else that you'd like to say since we're at the end of the questions that I have for you?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me to put my voice out here. I'd like to say thank you for allowing my mother and my cousin to be my voice. I want to say thank you, Miss Stacy. I want to thank Rob for building this platform for all of us to get on here and let the whole world know that There's a lot of good people behind these walls, and we fighting every single day to try to get ourselves better so we can make it out there to make a positive change, no matter how it is or what it is. Again, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for letting my family get on here and be my voice.
Of course. I wish you well. I wish you peace, and sending solidarity to you
and also to some of those guys that you mentioned that you surround yourself with.
Yes, thank you so much. Freedom men and women.
Yeah, the strength that's all around you, even though sometimes,
you have
or oftentimes, I'm sure, it doesn't feel like strength. Sometimes, you know, we're down and we need each other to pick ourselves up. So just sending solidarity to all of you. And thanks again for coming on the show.
All right. Thank you so much, Stacey. You have a good one.
You too. Take good care, Gerard.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
So that was our interview with Gerard Haynes. And we're going to just take a quick, very quick musical break. And when I come back, I will be speaking with his cousin, Dominique, who really is more like his sister since they were raised together in the same house as children. And also Gerard's Aunt Ruby. So please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I got my eyes on you. You're everything that I see. I want your high love and emotion endlessly. I can't get over you. You left your mark on me. I want your high love and emotion endlessly. 'Cause you're a good girl and you know it. You act so different around me.
So, good morning to both Dominique and Ruby Haynes.
Good morning, Stacey.
Good morning, ladies. We have Ruby, who is Gerard's aunt.
Yes.
And we have Dominique, Gerard's cousin.
My cousin.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both for being with us this morning.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I'll start with you, Dominique. Is Gerard the only person in your family who's serving a sentence that may be unjust to you?
No, I have an older brother as well who is serving basically life in prison. He got arrested in the 90s where there was a three strike law or rule, whatever it is going on. And they threw the book at him. And his sentences ran concurrent. And is, I feel is very unjust and unfair, the sentence that he received, as well as Gerard.
Okay. So I'd like to ask this question to both of you. The question is, can you speak to the hardships trying to maintain a relationship with someone or a couple of people behind the walls and the prison gates? Maybe... Ruby, you'd like to take that one first?
It's really hard. The hardship is the traveling distance. Gerard is in Philly, and we live in Pittsburgh. And since they stopped the buses many years ago to go up to visit them, I didn't go up that often because I was injured. And it's been a really great hardship on me. It's been over a decade. Excuse me.
It's all right, Mom. It's definitely been a long time since we've seen Gerard. I think during his 18 plus years he served, we might have seen him a good 5 times, if that. And also the stress, the mental stress, the anxiety, just missing him growing up, him missing us. Gerard has been incarcerated longer than he has been a citizen, a civilian. There's been a lot of sleepless nights. I've been having anxiety attacks. Like I said, he's like a brother to me, so it hurts really bad. He's not here to help take care of his mom, who just had a stroke a couple years back. It's a lot of hardships. It's really hard on us. It's real hard.
So, Dominique, this isn't just a cousin. You said he's like a brother to you?
Yes. Yes. We grew up together all the time. We were always together. My mom basically helped raise him, and yeah.
Did you help raise him too, in a way?
Yes, I did, because I watched him.
Yeah.
I watched him.
Yes. They grew up together from children. Sherrod was just a baby. And he was just like a son to me, even though he was my nephew. He was still my son because he was just always there. And I was always there for him whenever he needs me. He made, almost made me feel like I was his super auntie back then.
Mm.
And he still makes me feel like I'm his super auntie, even though the years have passed. Time, so much time has passed. And I just miss my nephew and my son so bad. It's just the pain. You know, you never get past the pain of a loved one being gone, locked up. We do talk to him on the phone. Years ago, it was the 15-minute phone calls, and it's still the 15-minute phone calls. Now they have everything on a computer, and it's so hard to set up a visit. We have to set up a visit a month, 2 months ahead of time on a computer to even get a visit, an in-person visit with them. And financially, it's just been hard. It's been over a decade since I seen Gerard. It's been over a decade. Baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
That really explains a lot. I think from my recollection, too, it's not that easy for the incarcerated individual, too, to...
Absolutely not. Right.
To get a visit.
Yes. It's so hard. So hard.
There's a lot of arrangements that need to be made behind the scenes and a lot of walking for them, actually, which might not affect Gerard as much, but I know some of the senior individuals have a hard time making that walk. But anyway.
Yes, like my mom. She has a very hard time walking.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yes. And his mom, like I said, she recently had a stroke a couple years back. You know, so, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah. So let's shift a little bit to Gerard's been incarcerated now for 18 years. Are there any changes that you've seen in him since this time?
When my nephew went in, he was a teenager. And he's always had a good head on his shoulder. Always said he was born before his time. Always said he was a little old man because I could sit and have conversations with him, you know, at a young age, 12, 13 years old. But he was a young man when he left, and I see the maturity in him because he's grown into a man. And I'm going to pass it to my daughter. She can tell you the accomplishments he has made since he's been incarcerated. He's just not in there just doing this and doing that and getting in trouble. He's making something of himself because he was so young when he went in, baby.
Yes, Gerard has obtained his GED while incarcerated. He is certified in warehouse operations. He is certified in vocational training, custodial wiring. He had inside-outside prison exchange that he completed. He was on the football, baseball team. He completed many therapies, the Man Up program, which he excelled really well in, outpatient new growth therapy as well. You know, I think pretty much speaks for itself. He's accomplished a lot.
You know what else? No, go ahead.
Yeah, he's definitely
grown up.
A model inmate. You know, he could be a model citizen as well. You know, he's just not letting the time do him. He's serving his time with purpose. You know, reform, that's what prison's for, to reform. But they're not, you know, but they need to give him a chance to prove that he's reformed. And I think his accomplishment and good behaviors speak for itself.
Mm.
He was 18. The key word is teen. He was a child going in. Everyone deserves a second chance. We all made terrible decisions at 18.
Well, you know, our brains aren't fully developed when we're 18.
Absolutely. Exactly. Exactly.
Not until we're about 24, I believe.
Right. Right. His first offense, and his first offense at 18, and they put him away for life. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense that he doesn't get to get another chance.
Thank you for elaborating on that. And I just wanted to add, you know, when I was speaking with him earlier, he mentioned how he really chooses his people carefully now, and he surrounds himself with good people. So I just wanted to add that. Dominique, since you guys are connected in a special kind of sibling way, and you're close in age, do you want to maybe talk a little bit about anything you remember or miss the most when it comes to Gerard?
Yes, I just miss him, his whole presence, his smile, his laughs. He just lit up a room. It was super funny. He's still funny.
I have to interrupt.
That was my partner coming up. I just miss everything about him. He's missed so much. It's like I'm grieving, but he's here, you know?
I just want to say, when I was talking with him earlier, I remembered our first conversation before this formal interview, when you talked about his smile. So I kind of told him that, that you said that you loved his smile and he had the best smile ever, and he just like broke out into a guffaw. He was laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything you want to add to that, Ruby, about something that maybe you remember or miss the most about him?
It's just him. It's just Gerard. He was always Auntie's baby.
Mm.
You know, always Auntie's baby. I just miss him, his aura. You know, just seeing him, you know, calling me, you know, auntie, you know, I just miss him. I just miss Gerard.
So it's really obvious that your family has been extremely impacted by the criminal justice system.
Yes.
Would either of you like to comment about how you view the system and maybe how it has not served your family well?
The system definitely has not served my family well. Like I said, it was his first offense. He was 18, and they put this teen away for the rest of his life.
I just want to interrupt for a second. I think Rantry Rob told me that he actually shot a person in the leg.
Yes, and it wasn't intentional at all. It wasn't intentional. That wasn't his intent. As you know, it was below the knee. It's very unfortunate what happened. It just happened to hit an artery and the man bled out and died. It was not intentional at all. That was not his intent. Like I said, we didn't grow up in the best neighborhood, and you know, he might have became a product of his environment, but he was a child and he knows better and he's doing better and he's serving his time, you know, for what he did and everything. And I don't know, it just failed. He just deserves a second chance. I feel he deserves a second chance. It wasn't intentional or anything like that. He was really close to that man. You know, if it was intentional, he could have got shot anywhere else. You know, he panicked and he just wanted to get the man off, away. That's it. Like I said, it's really unfortunate. Someone lost someone, two families lost someone.
Yeah.
that day.
Yeah.
Two families.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else that either of you would like to add before we end this conversation? Are you okay, Ruby?
Yes, I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm okay.
I just want to thank you, Stacey, and and everyone for doing this, for just everything that you guys do. This is awesome because they do not have a voice in there, and y'all are their voice. Y'all are helping out, and it's truly appreciate it. It's truly appreciated because there's not any programs or anything for them.
Yeah, well, that's what the Groves Notebook is about as well, and this show as well, to bring the audio to the Groves Notebook. And we will keep doing it for as long as we can. And we appreciate so much. I'm saying we on behalf of Robert Groves, Reentry Rob, we really appreciate you coming on the show. We know it's difficult. This is not pleasant at all. This is not something that you probably want to do, right? In case anybody's out there listening.
It's really hard. My heart is so heavy. It's been so many years, and my heart still is so heavy. When my nephew when Gerard told me about this, I was okay. And then when my daughter called, when Dominique called me today, it was just like, oh, it just brought all that, those years of things, that the pain that I've hidden.
Yeah.
I thought I'd hidden. But I thank you so much, Stacey.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you. And listeners, please don't go anywhere. Life Without Parole listeners, we'll take a short break and then we will be right back.
Good girl, and you know it. I know exactly who you could be. Just hold on, we're going home. Just hold on, we're going home. It's hard to do these things alone. Just hold on, we're going home. Everything that I see, I want your high love and emotion endlessly. I can't get over you. You left your mark on me. I want your high love and emotion.
And this is Life Without Parole Radio. This is Stacey Mandel. And I'm going to bring on Ms. Karen Haynes, who is Gerard's mother.
Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good morning, finally. You. How are you today?
I am feeling good and appreciative that you are willing to come onto the Life Without Parole show, because I know that this is difficult terrain. So thank you.
You're welcome. I'll do anything for my baby.
Okay. So, can you please tell us, from your perspective as Gerard's mother, how difficult has it been having your only son be imprisoned?
Oh, it's been very, very difficult and hard.
And how so?
Because I've been stressing. I had a stroke when I was 40. So it's basically just been hard for me.
I couldn't imagine, because I'm a mother too. I can't imagine what it's like. How have you found the strength to deal with this reality that you're in?
Really, I have found the strength. I just take day by day within and deal with it. Because there's no way you can really deal with it but to just day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing.
One foot in front of the other.
Yeah, taking it one step at a time, baby steps.
So due to the facts of your son's case, I understand that he received an excessive sentence.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts about the criminal justice system?
I feel they're totally unfair as far as his case went. Because I was there every day, sat in the courtroom. His judge was just outrageous. He did too much.
Can you tell me more what you mean about that last line?
I mean, like, he told my son that he was a menace to society. I called for relief. You didn't even have to say I would have quit room full of people.
Yeah.
And you should have just gave him another chance instead of just taking it as is right now. Because for real, Ross not a bad child. He's very respectful, if you're respectful to him. He's harsh to certain people.
Do you recall at that time of your life when Gerard was 18 and this happened? Do you recall any of the details that you feel are relevant to this sentence being excessive?
No.
What's changed in your eyes when you see and hear your son after all these years of incarceration?
I see a lot of things in him. He's grown. He grew up a lot. He's intelligent.
And if and when you ever have the opportunity to speak to those who hold your son's freedom in their hands, what would you tell them?
He deserves another chance. There's no need to hold him down for this one thing. And he was a kid at the time anyway, so...
Okay.
I don't understand that, but hey, they did it.
Anything.
What they did was hurt me. They took him away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no telling when my son's going to get out. And I want him to come home. He deserved to come home. He has a lot of people that love him.
Yeah.
And want him home.
I feel your pain. And this is part of the sentencing that our show seeks to shed light on for people. That it's not just maybe the person who's also behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
It might be other people who are suffering as well, their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, again, just want to say...
are suffering. Truly suffering.
Yeah.
Like I can't speak for everybody else, but I'm suffering.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to say how much we appreciate you. I know you said you'd do anything for your baby, but I know it does. This is an extremely painful, you know.
Yeah, it is painful.
It's painful, and it's from the heart, and it's hard to no matter how many years, it's been many decades. I know that you've grown accustomed to it, but it's obvious that the the pain is still very palpable. So I just want to say again that we appreciate you coming onto the show to share it with us. And I'm sorry for any other pain it's caused you. Is there anything?
I remember it just like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything else to anyone who's listening that I, you know, something that maybe I didn't get a chance to ask you?
All I can say is, all parents, grab a hold of your child and don't let this happen to your child. It's hurtful. Especially when it's your only child. And I got married 7 years ago. Now I ain't even had my son here.
Yeah, at your wedding.
Yeah.
Well,
just love your child and hold on tight to them. Because they're going to be, a boy's going to be a boy, a girl's going to be a girl. So they're going to do boys and girl things. There's nothing you can do to stop it. I just hope all your kids be fine and they get to grow up through their life. And get to see everything they need to see. And be who they gonna be and accomplish all the goals they want to.
Well, may all of us who are listening to you right now use our good fortune and privilege that we have if we're with our children and somehow use that for good.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Ms. Haynes. We really appreciate your time with us.
Thank you. Y'all are very welcome.
Okay. And Life Without Parole listeners, please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Life Without Parole Radio, LWAP Radio. This is Stacy, and I have on the line with me Rob Reentry, Rob Groves from SCI Phoenix. Hi, Rob.
Good morning, Stacy. Good morning, listeners. What's up? How was everything?
This was 5/5, May 5th. So it was an emotional show. I was speaking with three female family members. It's also interesting, just a side note, when I've spoken to other family members, men, I have to say, I don't recall anyone shedding tears. Doesn't mean they weren't emotional. But there were tears shed when I pre-interviewed people, you know, to get them, ready for the show, to let them know we're going to interview them. And then Just now on the interviews, there were additional tears. And so I'm just making an observation here.
And I'm glad you said that, because there's two avenues I kind of want to tie in. I want to talk about felony murder, first of all, because that's what Mr. Haynes, or J-Dub, what I call him, you know, what many of call him, you know, the prison, that's his nickname. But I think that, you know, that emotion, I think each and every week that's what, you know, LWAP provides. It's like you give the listeners, you give the people real life accounts of what it's truly like to serve death by incarceration sentences here in you know, Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution. But this process is never easy, not for you, not for the families. You know, we ask the families, friends, and supporters, you know, who are serving that identical sentence with their loved one to go through, you know, an interview process and revisit places that, you know, they've tried to forget, you know, or tried to store away.
And I just want to add in there real quick too, like, not to, we didn't mention, you know, the victims,
right,
people, those who lost their lives and their families. And it's not to be, obviously it's like another whole topic, but I want to just amplify what you just said about the full picture, the full scope of the pain.
Yeah, and but I think that we also lose that, you know, I'm the first one to say, you know, that none of the, you know, these platforms, you know, provide an avenue for healing for all those who were affected by crime. And I think a lot of times our family members, the ones on the inside, the supporters, you know, they're victims as well, and they're not considered victims. And so that's why I pointed that out. But yes, anybody that's impacted by crime is a victim. And I think that, you know, these discussions, they trigger frustrations, whether it be with the system. You have times where, you know, we're able to pull emotions of joy out of people, you know, and many times, you know, times it's become very emotional. You know, these layers are like, they're explored, you know, and they provide clarity, you
this
know.
This is a call from SCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution. This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
They provide clarity to those that, you know, directly and indirectly impacted, you know, and it's like, if you want answers, you know, all they got to do is tune in each and every week, you know. You know, our goal is freedom, forgiveness, and most of all, peace. And when I mean, you know, peace, I mean physically and mentally, you know. And I think that we all deserve that, you know. And I think that, I think that I want to tie in the, I want to tie something in with J-Dub, right? I met J-Dub when I first came down here, Stace, in 2009 from the mountains. The rural areas of Pennsylvania. So I was up at Smithfield at the time, in like Huntington. And when I first came down, Greaterford was always, you know, known for its sports, you know, and stuff like that. So I met J-Dub actually on the football field. And
Play football too?
Yeah. I've always been an athlete. You know, it's one thing that, regardless of what I did growing up, there's something that I found joy in, you know. And I met him on a football field. He's extremely competitive. I'm extremely competitive. But after that, like, we teamed up, and like, we've been like this unstoppable force, whether it be with baseball or with football. But it's a high character individual, you know, extremely trustworthy, you know, just traits that, you know, are hard to find in such, you know, a volatile environment, you know, such as, you know, the one we live in. You know what I'm saying, Stace? And he was convicted of felony murder as well.
SCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution. This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
And I kind of want to explain exactly what felony murder is. I think that a lot of times they hear in the news right now that you know, there's a lot of talks around abolishing the felony murder, or at least revisiting it. You know, we even had Governor Shapiro said that, you know, this is a topic, and this is something we need to, you know, dive a little more deeper into. And so I want to explain that the fundamental principles, Stace, of justice is, if a person is convicted, right, you sentence that person accordingly to the act that they played in that particular crime.
Right.
That's how things go, okay?
That's so what makes sense.
Murder, okay. So with second-degree murder, better known as felony murder, right, this is when someone dies during the perpetration of a felony. So the underlining felony I'm referring to could either be a burglary, a robbery, kidnapping, carjacking, rape, or arson. Intent isn't needed in order to convict for felony murder. Meaning a person doesn't have to form the intent to kill anyone in order to receive a life sentence. Your mitigating circumstances are things that actually tie in. They're the factors behind why a lot of the crimes happen. Okay? Was it, do you come from, and these are, I'm not making no excuses, these are just mitigating factors.
Yeah.
How were you raised? You know, were you on drugs that particular night? You know, were you the actual shooter? You know, what actual part that you played in this crime? What was your mindset at the time? Things like that. So you got a case where J. Dub, for instance, right?
Yeah.
Him and his co-defendant supposedly, because I'm not speaking to guilt or to innocence. I'm just speaking to facts that you can find, you know, on a public site. And it was a robbery that went bad, where the victim was struggling with his co-defendant at the time. So he shoots the guy in the leg so he could release his co-defendant. Never shot him in his chest, never shot him in his head. Should he have shot anybody? No, it's not what I'm saying. But he never informed the intent to kill anyone. So they run and shoot the guy in the leg. They run away from the scene. And unfortunately...
And I think also, Rob, it was below the knee.
Correct. So he was, once again, unfortunately.
That doesn't seem like it's anywhere near where you would kill somebody.
Correct. Now, I'm not stating that you get to run around the streets and, first of all, rob people. You don't get to run around the streets and shoot people. But what I'm saying is, if this man was guilty of this crime, which I'm not saying he is, then he should have been sentenced accordingly to the acts that he played into this particular crime. Meaning, you shot the man and he died due to that. Even though you didn't intend, you have to do some time for that. Yeah. You're also going to have to do some time for this robbery, because you can't run around and rob people. This is not what we do in society. So, but to sentence a man to die in prison when he never, ever intended to kill somebody, says this is what we face with felony murder.
Also, he was 18.
18 years old. So we'll give you one other example, because I want to bring clarity, because a lot of times when you explain things, you need other examples. Okay, let's just say you have two guys, right? One stays in a car. He's a getaway driver. The other one goes inside, a gas station. And when he goes into the gas station, he robs the guy. He doesn't shoot the guy. He never fires the gun. He never even harms anybody. He runs out, gets in the car. He finds out a week later that the guy had to go to the hospital because he had a heart attack, and he ended up dying. Once again, he never had intent to kill this man. And once again, I'm saying this again so it can be clear. We're not saying that you get to run around and rob people. We're not saying, once again, that you shouldn't be accountable for your actions. What we're saying is you sentence people accordingly to to the act that they played into a particular crime. And with felony murder states, you don't have that.
Yeah.
You get an automatic life sentence, even if it's an accident. I don't know if you heard of the Evans brothers. They were just released. They just got commuted maybe about 4 to 5 years ago.
Mm-mm.
They did about 46, 47 years in prison. They had a shotgun that didn't even work, Stace. It was broke. It was inoperable. Couldn't fire if he wanted to. They robbed this man, and unfortunately, the man had a heart attack. They served 46 years in prison. Now, I don't want to go ahead and not speak to the victim's side of it. And I don't want to speak on the victim's side, because that's something that can only be felt by people that are impacted by such a crime.
Right.
Right? But I think that when you start society as a whole, when you start to go ahead and you take this avenue of this lock them up, throw away a key approach, and you don't respect all the factors that go into these particular crimes, we can't lock ourselves into a system space that we just throw the key away and we don't revisit to see how this person has educated themselves.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I didn't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I just believe that, remember when I tell you this, and I will say this each and every show, that the platforms that we've been blessed to be provided with, you know, the platform, whether it be LWAP Radio, through, you know, Fet Life Station, you know, suave reaching out to me and making sure that it's possible, not only for myself, but the thousands, you know, that are deserving as well. But I think also with the Groves Notebook, all we're trying to do is bring that visual confirmation. We're trying to go ahead and bring that audio. We're trying to show that, you know, you have people that have changed their lives, that served decades and decades in prison. They have a support system on the street. And we're not saying we're deserving of anything. We're just saying revisit. Come right. back.
I want to say, I just want to just say, because of, in particular, today's show, something about today's show, what we really, really just... we're exposed to more of the pain and the lingering trauma, actually, that the loved ones of the person incarcerated serve, which, you know, it just was really highlighted in today's show, that silent sentence. I just want to mention, like, you know, there's the emotional trauma, which causes and wreaks all kinds of side effects that people mentioned on the show. They can't sleep. They have anxiety. Significant mental, you know, issues, but there's also the physical, two strokes, that they told me, separately were most likely related to the pain. And then there's the wider trauma that's, you multiply that by all the people, because PA and PA in particular has, I think, the second highest amount of lifers in the country in terms of the state. Back in the 70s, it was less than 700 people who had a life without parole sentence, you know, and now we're, I think, like over, what is it?
5,447 in PA.
Yeah. So that's a lot. But anyway, going back to like the trauma that brings to communities. I just want to mention it. There's a lot we could talk about right here. Which is why we have a show every Friday.
On all aspects, and I say this, and you know, I say, even when we're not on the show and we're trying to make sure that when we're speaking for us on the inside, that we're also showing the respect and we're paying honor to those that were harmed and who lost their lives and who were impacted. But it's, you have to be extremely careful.
You have 1 minute left.
We don't want to go ahead and I want to end with this.
Yeah.
This platform was not intended to overshadow the pain. I'll say this each and every week. It's just, we just want to provide an avenue where everybody can heal, where we can pay respect to those that were harmed by our transformation, by our growth each and every week. And Stace, thanks for everything you do. You know, I know there's an emotional show, and I know that kind of, you know, you got to dive deep into, you know, that same emotion. But I thank you for that. Y'all already know, same time, same place, same fight, you know, same reentry. We'll talk to y'all next week. Peace and blessings. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. In solidarity.
All right. Rob, see y'all next week. All right.
Take good care. So this brings us to the end of the show. We're at the end of the Life Without Parole show. And I just want to wrap up by saying the Groves Notebook is a Facebook page that you can check out that shares all the actual evidence of transformation happening in life parole sentences. Each individual is on there. We'd like to thank FetLife Station for providing a platform for this Life Without Parole radio show. And we will be back next Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. every Friday. Peace, everybody.
Hold on, I'm going home. Just hold on, I'm going home. It's hard to do these things alone. Just hold on, I'm going home. Oh. I got my eyes on you. You're everything that I see. I want your high love and emotion endlessly. Get over you. You left your mark on me. I want your high love and emotion endlessly. Cause you're a good girl and you know it. You act so different.
how I talk. This how I talk. Even though I know it's not grammatically correct, that don't make me no difference. I just need you to respect the way I say what I say when I talk every day, even though I may not speak for effect. This how I talk. We live in a country that's so full of shit, so don't criticize me just because I can't get with your grammar, your lingo, your doing your thing. Oh, I'm wrong because I like blackjack and your ass like bingo. Oh, no, I don't think so. This how I talk. You think I'ma listen to people like you when I see, hear, and read all the shit that you do? The same country that exploits us and uses our skills for profit and gain, but our brothers they kill, and my naive sisters you manipulate so well, need to just wear a sign saying sex for sale, but only corporate pimps will make an attempt to market that product, and they do it well, because if you sell your own body, your ass going to...